guys, welcome back to the All for God Sol Deo Gloria podcast. With me today, I have Megan DeGroff. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Chloe.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I am great. How are you doing?
Good. We are so excited to have you today because that you guys, I know Megan from when I was probably like, what, 5, 7 years old, around there. That time period when my dad was coaching her in high school. So we've known each other for a long while, but I'm really excited. Before we hop into our interview, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So like she said, my name's Megan DeGroff. And yeah, so I have known her for quite some time now. I was one of her dad's former basketball players when he coached over in Ohio. And I think when I was a part of that team, for those of you guys who have listened to Rex's podcast with Chloe, I was a part of that team where he would come and talk with us. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a great experience, having him come and talk with us about everything. So I was, like I said, an athlete with him. And then fast forward, I went to Baldwin-Wallace University. That's right outside of Cleveland. I played ball over there throughout that time. And, you know, fast forward 3 years later, here I am, 25-year-old me. I've been married for about 2 years now, a little less than 2 years. It'll be 2 years in June. So, yeah, here I am just, you know, figuring life out. So it's been great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what can you and your husband do for your jobs?
So my husband is a supervisor over at Solder Woodworking over in Archbold. Mm-hmm. And I am actually in marketing right now for a restoration company. I started that job in August over here in Defiance. So we actually live in small town of Bryan, right outside of Defiance, where you used to live, Chloe.
Oh, that's awesome. I do miss mm-hmm. Defiance a lot. It was probably one of my favorite places that I've lived.
That's great.
And this is something that I'm curious to know is how old were you when you became saved? Because when I was little, I don't really remember much from Ayersville because I was so young. But mm-hmm. I'm just curious to know, were you a Christian then, when your older years, when did you become saved?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, it's so hard to pinpoint a time where I can actually say that I was saved. You know, I grew up in a family that was very Christian based. We, you know, were always surrounded by parents and just family members who had such a love for Christ. So, you know, growing up, we were always taught about God's love and, you know, spoke of his word, sang all of his songs and just always surrounded by that. But I did, you know, going into high school was, you know, the time that I got to really learn about him a little bit more, deeper by myself in his word. But, you know, yeah, I just really can't pinpoint an exact time. I will say in high school, like I said before, that was the real time that I really devoted myself individually to take that mm-hmm. time and, you know, learn more about myself through Christ.
Yeah. And when you started doing that, what was the first thing that you noticed that started a change in your life?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a time that I really got to, I would say, just find more about myself. You know, before that time, I was just, one of my biggest struggles was just finding my identity and kind of who I was. But I think, you know, in my later years of high school, I kind of figured that out. It was more towards end of high school, beginning of college, where I really just kind of found more about myself and, you know, who mm-hmm. I was in Christ. So that was just very eye-opening.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now, obviously, as an adult, what would you say is something that you do that helps you to remain focused on God?
Oh, yeah. So staying disciplined in my study is huge for me. You know, it doesn't even have to be study, just spending time with the Lord, you know, whether that's reading the Bible, which is huge. And, you know, I think it's super important for those who want to learn more about him, but also learning more about yourself. And I do that through, you know, journaling is huge for me. I never did that growing up until it was till after college, actually, when I really started journaling. And that was a great way that I spoke with God. And of course, through prayer. Prayer is huge. And it's something that I do throughout my entire day. You know, whenever I just need time to reflect and just take a time to step back and talk with him, it's just huge. So just having him throughout my whole day is something huge with that.
And I have a journal too. I'm really bad at writing in it all the time though, honestly, but I try to stay put up with it. And it has I think it's so cool nowadays, like they have so many journals and stuff that they put out there. And like mine is really cool. It has, "For I know the places I have for you, declares the Lord," Jeremiah 29:11, and that's on the front of it. So I think it's awesome, you know, having a journal to reflect what's happening in your life. And then when you're older, you can, you know, you can reflect and be like, well, you know, this happened to me, but I've learned from that. And I think that's probably a good thing. Having a journal help you do that.
And absolutely.
What would you say is one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Oh, one thing I know now. That's a great question. I would have to say that I am not in control, you know, which I mean, I'm more aware of that now. I still fall at times and think I am in control, but I will say I'm getting better at that than I was. When I was growing up, I was very stubborn in that aspect where I always wanted to be in control of, you know, my plans and what was going on. But I think, you know, more specifically, I think 2020 has just showed everybody that we are not in control and life, you know, can take a turn in the blink of an eye. So it really, I really learned that, you know, God is the one who is looking after us and has a plan, and we are on his time.
And what I think that's something that I've heard a lot of people say is, you know, knowing that you're not in control. And as like the oldest sibling in my house, and I don't know if you knew this, Megan, but I don't know if you listened to the bonus episode, but me and my family, we're actually going to be moving to Wisconsin. And my mom had to go out there already because she has to start her job. And we have to wait a couple more weeks before we can go out there. So, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to not feel like I'm in control a lot, because with my dad at work and then I'm being homeschooled and my sister being homeschooled, I'm at home watching her and stuff. So it's really easy to try to make to feel as if you're in control when you're not. So I think that's a really good point. And looking back, would you say that you had a main mentor or a role model that helped you shape you into the Christian that you are today?
Yeah. So I don't know if I have a specific one. There are definitely people in my life that have been amazing at leading me into the woman I am today. To name a few in specific, growing up, I spent my junior high years in Virginia. So I don't know if you knew that about me, but I, from the time I was in fifth grade to eighth grade, I lived down there, because my dad's work took us down there. And there were two women that really stood out to me down there that just made such an impact looking back on my life now, that just made a huge impact in my faith journey. One, kind of opened my eyes a little bit more about the word and more about God and just, you know, how can I live for him daily? She was our children's director. So that was around fifth grade where I got to meet her. Her name was Coach and she was just amazing. And my other one who she was the youth director. So jump a couple years, that's where I got to meet her right around my early teen years where you're going through all of those changes and everything seems like the end of the world. And, you know, being that woman going through those changes, she was there to really help me and, just be there for me. You know, I was never one to really talk about my problems. I always kind of put a wall, in front of that. I still say this to my husband, but and he always hates it, but I never wanted to be a burden to those people. Mm-hmm. And so I would just never share about those problems with her, but I could tell that she knew what I was going through. She was a mother of two young girls. So she was a pretty young mom at the time. And she was just always able to relate with me. And she always had a way of communicating with me in such a special way. Mm-hmm. So those were two women who helped me get through the time. And then when I moved going into my freshman year back up to Ohio, to a new town, Ayersville, I think, honestly, your dad has made such a huge impact in my life. He came into my life when I didn't really know I needed him, but he was just such a strong presence, and he kind of opened my eyes to what, how I could live through Christ in everyday situations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really good. And, yeah. You know, having parents that are Christians are always it's always really helpful because, you know, when you're at home, you look up to them and you see how they act and then you want to act how they act. Mm-hmm. Having Christian parents is always an awesome bonus to have. And obviously, mm-hmm. there are some people out there who don't have Christians for parents as parents. And I've asked this before, I'm pretty sure, but what would you say would be your advice if you were in a non-Christian home as a Christian yourself to helping your family know Christ?
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's such a good question. I mean, I think definitely the obvious answer would be find a church and find an older person who you can talk with, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe can introduce them to your family members who might be able to help them out a little bit better. But, you know, before even doing that, if you're a teenager who is, you know, just starting out with this journey, maybe find like a classmate, maybe find a friend who, someone you know who is living for Christ, who mm-hmm. knows about God and is on that journey themselves, and talk with them. Maybe they have a better resource and have someone that you can go with, and, you know, you can do that together.
Yeah. But, and I'd say, first thing first, I'd say, yeah, like you said, find somebody who's older than you, like a leader or like a children's pastor at your church, mm-hmm. and have a relationship with them, first of all. But then also try to, like you said, find someone your own age, because finding someone your own age, sometimes it's easier to share stuff with people your own age than it is with adults, because you're afraid of what the adults looking down on you. So if you can find a Christian friend who is in a strong relationship with Christ, they won't look at you. Don't have to feel like they'll look down on you. You'll feel like you can just share stuff with them, and you mm-hmm. can feel comfortable that they're going to give you advice that goes through the Bible. Good advice that you know you should follow. So that's what I would say on that matter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and you say you guys are actually in quarantine right now, and mm-hmm. you know, COVID has hit everybody so hard in different aspects of their lives. But what would you say you have done to stay positive and connected to people throughout quarantine?
Yeah. So, that's a great question. So the big thing that I did was make a plan. I made a plan of my day to continue to dive deep into the Word and continue journaling and praying. That mm-hmm. was just the big thing that I wanted to continue with, just because we had so many changes happen with us throughout this whole COVID season. We moved from Canton, Ohio back to Bryan, Ohio. And actually before we even moved to Bryan, we were living with our in-laws at the time, because I switched jobs and we didn't have time to find a house yet. So yeah. So that was just, it was just crazy. So I think just having as much routine as possible, and living, you know, in the Word and just following that, routine was big. But another thing was, you know, keeping with community. Before that, we were part of a church, and it was just so easy to talk with people about problems. But, you know, once COVID hit, you know, churches shut down. We were doing online church, which was great, but there wasn't much community at the time. Because I'm definitely more of a in-face, you know, kind of girl. So just doing everything online was so different. Crazy enough, of course, in God's timing, everything worked out. We had one of my husband's friends' wives had reached out to me. It was actually on Instagram, and she had just started a fitness and faith group that I got to be a part of. So it combined two things that I love, and I was able to meet some new women that kept me on my routine, which was great. So it was just so great how everything just kind of worked out in that way, and in all God's timing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's obviously been a lot of hard for a lot of people to be able to have a church service that they can go to. And thankfully, a lot of people have done like Facebook Lives, or they've done stuff on YouTube. And that's always awesome. And if you guys listening don't have a church that you can listen to, I'd highly recommend Red Rocks Church. They have like a huge youth thing that's just awesome that I love to listen to. It's really great, and you can really see how their pastors preach through Christ. So I'd say if you are looking for an online church that you could listen to on Sundays or just any day of the week, they have an awesome thing on YouTube that I would definitely recommend that you would go to look at. And sometimes for some people, it's hard to find, you know, the right church, because I haven't had to deal with this too much in my own life, but I have heard it with some of my friends, you know, that their churches just don't seem like they really like are all that about God. So what would you say about trying to find a church, you know, that actually is all about Christ? Like, what would be your advice on that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, because it's something that I can relate to, because as we moved to Ohio, we kind of experienced that moving back up here. We went to a church in Defiance who, you know, they understood the mission. However, I don't know if they lived it out properly, just because there was so much politics behind it. You know, they didn't, it was kind of hard to get anything done with them, if that makes sense. Like, just nothing was getting accomplished at that church. So my family and I were really struggling with kind of being able to relate with them and stay with them. So throughout that time, it kind of hindered my strength or my faith journey in a way. However, throughout that time, it was hard, because, you know, we did have to bounce around to a couple of different churches. But, you know, when you do find that church, you know, like, for us, we had people that were approaching us, and just had that feeling of security that this is it. So for any advice, I mean, I would say have patience and know that God's got a plan for you. He has a home for you, and, you know, it might take some time. But, you know, just stay patient with it.
Yeah. And we actually, when we lived in Ohio in Defiance, we had this awesome church. I don't know if this happens to be the church that you go to, but it was Experience Church. And we loved it so much. And funny story is, actually, when we were leaving, I had quite a few friends there. And I was like, this is our last time here, because we're moving to Las Vegas. And they believed me. And then I never showed up, obviously, because we were in Nevada. And so I guess that they figured out I was telling the truth. But I was just curious to know if Experience did happen to be the church that you went to.
You know, it is not. So I now go to a church in Bryan called New Hope. I think it's pretty similar. It's non-denominational. And it does seem pretty similar to experience, because I don't know if you know this, but experience is now, I think before they were over at the Y, is that where you,
they were at the Y.
Yep. So now they moved over to the mall. So they're pretty big over there. They are a very popular church. A lot of people have moved to them, and I've heard really great things about experience. I have not been there yet, though, because I found New Hope in Bryan, and that's actually where my husband and his family went before. So we all go there, but it seems to be pretty similar.
Yeah, I think I was just curious to know, since you said about finding a church, and that was a church that I went to, so I was like, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on here, and we all have different things that we struggle with a lot in our own lives, but what would you say is a main thing that you struggle with in your own life, and what do you try to do to overcome it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's a great question. So... like I had mentioned this before, that I had struggled with identity, in myself, kind of growing up. I'll kind of go back there and tell you how it relates nowadays. But, before, you know, with my identity, I just always wanted to be like everybody else. I had a hard time of finding out who I was. You know, I think you remember, I'm a pretty tall woman, 6'3", and I was always tall growing up, but I always wanted to fit in. I always wanted to be like other people. I never wanted to stand out and, you know, show people who I really was. Mm-hmm. So that's something I struggled with before. And then I think a part of me still kind of does today, only in a different way. I know who I am. However, I feel like I have to be someone I'm not, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
So I feel sometimes that I have to, you know, be this person. I have these expectations for myself that just aren't there. And I, it's a constant thing I have to remember that Christ is in me, and I am identified by Christ, and my identity is not, you know, in other things. It's not in my occupation. It's not, you know, what I accomplished in 2020 and 2021. It's in Christ and in Christ alone.
I love that. Your Christ is in me. I am identified by Christ alone. That was really good. I loved that a lot. I think that obviously everybody struggles with different things in their own personal lives, but what would you say is something that you think that teens struggle with a lot in our modern society?
Yeah, so I think kind of, you know, relating to that, it's just how social media plays a role in that, and comparison is just such a big thing, you know. You don't only see the teens, but, you know, teens your age, but you see adults and, you know, younger adults who you want to be like. And it's just, you know, social media, I think you and I both know, it's just not real.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a young teen looking at that, that's all they know. And maybe they think it is real, which, you know, is a huge struggle. So, I think just kind of overcoming that is just huge, and something I didn't have to deal with growing up. And I feel my heart goes out to y'all who are experiencing this.
Yeah. And you know, if I'm being completely honest with you, I have like a dessert thing, 'cause I'm actually vegan. I don't know if I've said this before, but I have a vegan, like, where I make desserts and I just post them just for fun, you know, just to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And they look so much better when I take a picture and then you edit it. Like, if I can
It,
they don't look that much alike. And that's
like
the food. But you, when you start talking about, like, people and stuff, there is so much bad stuff out there on social media. But obviously, there's also a lot of good stuff. What would you say would be your advice on how to deal with navigating social media so that you can see the good stuff that comes from Christ-given people, and, you know, block out all that bad stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the big thing for you guys, you know, people to do is just kind of think before you go on social media, think, what am I trying to get out of this? You know, what am I looking for? And you'll know once you see posts, you know, this isn't it. I would just unfollow that person, unfollow whatever.
Yeah.
That's something that I find myself even doing. You know, I am very much into fitness and health, and I will follow professional accounts, you know, very qualified people. They have, you know, licensed, whether they're licensed in PT or whatever. It's not like I'm following just random fitness people, but they post stuff that makes me, you know, want to compare to them. And, you know, I will do kind of filters every now and then and unfollow those people when I catch myself comparing. So I think that's just a huge thing to do. And yeah, just, you know, have that mission before to look for those good posts, because they're out there. That, yeah. I mean, that's something that I love what you're doing. You are bringing that light into that social media, and you're bringing that hope for people that need it.
Thank you. And, you know, I think that there's a certain point that you can judge, like, your compare yourself to people, I mean. But I think it should depend on how you're doing it. I think that if you're doing it from a standpoint of, like, for me, like, with outdoor basketball, I try to compare myself to the other athletes because I want to make myself work harder because I want to be better than them. So I try to say, you know what, they're at this standpoint level, you know, and I want to get up there too. So I try to that kind of comparison, I think, is good. But if you start doing a comparison that makes you, you know, think down on yourself and become depressed even, I think, you know, that's the wrong kind of comparison. Comparing yourself in a way that you want to build yourself up and make yourself better is fine, but just make sure that you know at what point it is that you are comparing yourself.
And exactly.
We are going to conclude with our final question before we get into our other segment, and that's just, what is your advice on how to live off for God?
Yeah, I love it. So my number one advice would be find community that lives all for Christ, that, you know, is searching for God and is on that faith journey you are. You know, we are not meant to live this life alone. I think COVID kind of proved that we are not, you know, we are meant to be with people. So, you know, if you're out there who's kind of struggling on your own on this faith journey, find people, find whoever, find a group, and, you know, go through this together and be disciplined together.
I agree. And I think you said this, but, you know, just making sure that you are going with the good community is also, and you said that a lot earlier today, making sure that you are in a tight-knit group, in a community that is truly living all for God and is truly trying to make their lives for God. And one of the main things that this podcast is about, you know, living all for God. And making sure you're with the right community is a big part of that, because if you surround yourself with different people that aren't, you know, living for God, you will see a change. And I won't say any names, but in the past I have had friends who I was really close with, but then they started hanging out with these other people that weren't in our, you know, knit group. And she started acting completely different. Like, she wasn't the person that I knew before. And because a lot of the people that she started hanging out with weren't really Christians. So just making sure that you hang out with the right people is what I would say.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
We are going to go ahead and move on to our Would You Rather Bible themed segment. Are you ready?
I am so ready. I love this part. I love that you've added this into
it. I know. I'm so excited. My dad actually came up with this, and he was like, when you say it, you gotta say that it was credits to Boss Man. And we don't actually call him Boss Man in real life. It's off of this horrible movie we watched. It was the acting. The movie was not very good. I don't even remember what it was called. But there was a girl called her dad Boss Man. So, you know, that's, he insisted that we should call him Boss Man from then on. Even
that is,
we don't
so
really call him that very often. It's still a fun little joke.
I love it. He's got so many nicknames. We used to call him Papa Pasta. We still do. So your dad is a man of many names.
Yeah, my dad, he used to play, just online poker, on his phone for fun, his username was always Papa Pasta and with the number, and it was really funny, because I'd always be like, where did you come up with this? And he's like, I always thought it was funny.
Yes, I love it.
Well, our first question is, would you rather eat manna from heaven or eat of the fruit from the tree of life? And we're going to pretend as if, you don't know what, the consequences would be. Just saying, it's this tree of life that you're allowed to eat from is what we're saying in this instance.
Okay. All right. So I would definitely have to pick the manna from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's so hard not to think about what's going to happen if I eat from the tree.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with the manna from heaven. I mean, it's from heaven. It's got to be good, right?
Yeah. I would pick the manna too, because, now that you know the story, it's just hard to imagine just eating that, because you would feel I don't know. I don't think I would be able to really eat it unless it looked really good.
Exactly.
All right. Our next one is, would you rather have seen the Red Sea parted or have seen Jesus walk on water?
Oh, you're killing me, man. Oh. Part in the Red Sea or walking on water? I'm going to have to go with having walking on water would be better. I'm thinking about the situation. If I am at the red, I'm at, if I'm at the sea, I just don't like, I don't, oh, yeah. I don't like that situation. I'd feel too stressed out. But, if I'm watching him walk on water, I'm probably in a boat, feel pretty safe. And
but when you think of it, there's a big storm, though, that was going on during this period of time.
That's true. But I have him right there. I'm gonna stick with the man with him walking on water.
Okay.
I would just feel so much better.
I would pick walking on water because, I think if we're thinking of it, even from the standpoint of, just seeing it, not being in the physical danger yourself or anything, but just from the standpoint of being able to see it, the Red Sea, I think obviously that would have been awesome. But I also think, Jesus walking on water, you're there in his presence, you're watching him perform this miracle, you actually can see Jesus.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's the Red Sea, it's Moses, which, Moses is awesome and everything, but, just not Jesus. So, I think that's why I would pick Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, would you rather, there's obviously, a lot of diseases that people talk about or miracles that Jesus had performed on people. So would you rather have had leprosy or have been blind?
I think I'd rather have been blind, just because going from being blind to being able to see again and seeing Jesus right there would have been, I could only imagine that feeling. Awesome.
Let's say, what if you weren't going to be healed? Let's say, this is just obviously when you go to heaven, there's no diseases or anything, but just while you're on earth, would you have rather been blind or have had leprosy?
I'm still going to go with blind. I think, I can only imagine having leprosy, what that must be like, but being blind, I think that gives you a whole different perspective in life.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you look at the world, no pun intended, in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that I would probably pick blind, but you know, I think, you know, that would definitely, you know, mess up basketball because you can't see the hoop or anything. But you know, if you have leprosy, you have all these bandages on your body and all these sores and stuff, so you wouldn't be able to do it either way. But if you're blind, at least you can kind of walk and stuff. So
exactly, I'm sure you would make it work if you were blind. You'd still be able to play basketball. You'd figure out a way, Chloe.
Maybe. Okay. We are moving on to our last would you rather question here with you, Megan. Okay. That is, would you rather have dinner with Paul or with Moses?
Oh, that is a good question.
We'll have it back. You're eating it with them from their time periods or in modern time also. So from each standpoint, what would you pick?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there are two amazing men.
I totally agree.
Okay, so I'm gonna
process is right now.
Yeah, so you know, thinking of Moses or thinking of Paul, just everything that he's gone through, the transformation that he had himself would just be amazing. Like just hearing how he, you know, how God transformed him. But I think I'm going to have to go with Moses just because, you know, it took a lot of courage to have him do what he did. And I just,
are you seeing this from both standpoints of like when you would have dinner with them?
Wait, what was that? Sorry.
It's during, would you rather have it like during our modern time period? Like which one of them during our modern time period and which one of them during their time period?
Oh, we're doing both. Okay. So, okay. I would probably do Paul from the modern day period and Moses from his time period.
Interesting. I would swap it actually because they would just eat manna and quail all the time when Moses was alive. So and if I had to pick like without like thinking about like dinner or anything, I would pick Paul, I think, because I think it's awesome what Moses did, but I think I would want to hear Paul's story because I love to hear how, you know, he went from such a horrible sinner to somebody who loved God so much that, you know, he had all the Christians that are out there were hating him because he was murdering all of them. And then he just shows up and he's preaching about the God that he was just trying to kill everybody who was talking about him. So I would pick him because I just love his story so much. That's why I would personally pick Paul.
Yeah, I love it. They're two really great men.
Yes, they are. Do you have any last things you want to say before we end this episode, Megan?
I think that's about it. I just had so much fun with you, Chloe.
I know.
It was so great talking with you again.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Megan. And all you listeners, make sure you guys go check out all the other episodes. We have like 6 or 7 more out there for you guys to go enjoy. Make sure you tell all your friends out there and your family members. Get the word out there. Get more people listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And you can message me on Anchor or you can message me on Instagram or Facebook Messenger at Chloe Cicero or All For God's Soul Day of Gloria. And let me know what you think and who you think would be a good guest. Thank you guys for listening. And remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory.